Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, last hour we talked with Brandon Kine about his book, Meet the Neighbors, and one of the chapters had to do with a rehab center, a wildlife rehab center in his area out east, as a matter of fact. Well, now we're going to talk about a rehab center that is located right here in Wisconsin, and a couple of guests for you today. Kim Bannock, Executive Director of the Wildlife in Need Center. It's a rehab of native Wisconsin species located in Oconomowoc. Kim Bannock, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us. We're so thankful.
With us as well, Elisa Fosco, Director of Animal Care of Wildlife in Need. And Elisa, thank you for joining in as well.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
As you listen to our experts, I hope you'll join in. Have you taken a wildlife animal to a rehab center? Do you know when an animal is in need? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Kim, your center is located in Oconomowoc, serves southeast Wisconsin. Talk about your mission.
So our mission is to help injured, orphan, and sick Wisconsin wildlife, and a goal is always to release them back to the wild. And we also have a wildlife education program. So we go anywhere from Madison to Milwaukee, even like 2.5 hours north, with our educational ambassadors. Wildlife hospital is very unique, and it is there to serve our community with the injured, orphan, and sick Wisconsin wildlife that we admit.
So. Yeah, it's a great service. Elise, and you serve Wisconsin animal species that are common to our state, correct?
Correct. We do take care of all native species that we have the resources to take care of and that we can legally rehabilitate in Wisconsin.
And what kinds of animal injuries do you typically treat?
You know, we see all different things that come in the door, but as far as injuries, probably the most common things that we see, unfortunately, almost all of them due to some sort of human interaction. But typically, the main things that we would see would be vehicle collisions, window collisions, especially during migration months, and then dog and cat caught animals, so non-native domestic predators, basically, when people have their pets outside. So those would be the most common types of injuries that we see. But then we also do take care of orphaned and sick animals as well.
It's an amazing job that you do there. Kim, I understand the center celebrated its 30th anniversary earlier this year. And by the way, you have a great Facebook page. And that's one of the changes I expect that's happened over the past three decades.
Yes, it is one of the great changes. It's a great way to get our message out there to our Facebook followers. It's a very efficient way to do that. So, this year is our 30th anniversary, and we're really excited about that. We've seen some unprecedented admission numbers this year, where just April alone, we had 70% increase compared to previous years of animal admissions. Currently right now we're at about 40% on average compared to previous years. And we recently admitted our 70,000 patients since inception and our 2,000 patients this year alone. And we're not even, done with the busy season yet. So
yeah. And you have fewer than, I think, a dozen people, a paid staff, but you also have a couple of hundred volunteers, which you probably really need to handle that volume.
Yeah, I mean, so we take care of as many animals that we can, and it really does take a whole combined effort, everything from our medical staff to our rehab staff to our longtime volunteers to our brand-new volunteers, and then in the summer, our interns as well. And so there's quite a lot of people that go into helping the animals that come through our facility, for sure.
Yeah. Joshua in Viroqua has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Joshua.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, so just last week, I was in the Waukesha area, far from home, and I was on a farm, and going to meet someone, but they weren't there. And as I was waiting, I heard something on the fence line, and there was a fawn with its right rear leg tagged in a fence, and it had cut to the bone. I could see the bone. It was about a 40-pound fawn with spots, I'm guessing. It was the biggest spotted fawn I'd ever seen, but I thought, this thing is going to cut me up if I try and handle it, but I was able to bend the wire enough so I could get away, and it looked just terrible. And it was such an upsetting experience. I just wondered if there was anything better I could have done.
You got it loose.
Those situations are really challenging. And most places in Wisconsin are not able to rehabilitate white-tailed deer. Did you see the mom around?
No.
When it happened? Okay. So, it's pretty common for those guys to get stuck in all kinds of fences, unfortunately. And, they don't typically do well if they cannot get up and walk away. If they can get up and walk away, a lot of times what we'll do, and it can be very challenging, is we will have people and we'll say, if he gets up and runs away, leave him alone and let him do that, because they do have a pretty good chance. And there are a ton of three-legged deer out there in the wild breeding and doing well. Now, if we were to rehabilitate them, we would never amputate limbs on a wild animal. But in the game of survival of the fittest, there's quite a few out there that do okay. So typically we try to give them the benefit of the doubt. There's not much that you can do besides either A, get them out like you did, or B, call the sheriff who could come out. And if they can't be let go or they can't get up and walk, then the sheriff can take care of them.
Yeah.
Ideally, though, whenever possible, we do try to give them a chance. And it's hard to say about that guy without kind of seeing what the leg looked like. But if they can get out and walk on all 4 feet, it's definitely worth the chance. So the right thing to do is to try to get them out like you did.
Yeah, you did the best you could there,
yeah.
Josh, and it was pretty good, I think.
Yeah. As long as he walked away, that's the same thing we would have done.
Thank you again for calling. Cheryl in Milwaukee will go to you. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Larry. We used to live up in Conover, north of Eagle River, and I cannot tell you how many animals I rescued and took to the Northwoods Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Minocqua. And I can't tell you the amount of wonderful work these people do. It's just incredible. Their love and attention to our wildlife is just beyond comprehension. And the gentleman with the fawn deer, I remember one time in St. Germain, literally a car on Highway 70, literally and on purposely hit a fawn. It wasn't an accident. You could see it. And so I called the sheriff. I stopped. I took the fawn to the wildlife place. Sheriff gave this lady a ticket because she obviously wasn't trying to avoid the animal. She ran right into it, smack into it.
Well, Cheryl, that's a terrible thing that happened, certainly in that instance. But she mentioned, and Cheryl mentioned the Northwoods Rehab mm-hmm. Center. You probably have had some dealings with Marge and the folks there as well, or maybe at least a conversation once in a while.
Yeah, Marge would be up a bit further north than them, and Northwoods, they're all good facilities, We all try to do the best that we can to help the animals that come through our doors. Northwoods is another good one that takes a lot of animals and does really good work. And unfortunately, we could spend all day talking about all the bad things that happen out there when people are behind the wheel of a car and an animal gets in front of them. But we try to do the best that we can, and I'm really thankful and happy to hear that there was actually a ticket given for that. That's not common. So it's good to hear that there's at least some follow-up. But, yeah, those situations are never good.
Yeah. Cheryl, thanks again for calling. Nancy in Ridgeland, thank you for calling, Nancy.
Well, I'm so glad to talk with you, Larry. I want to congratulate Kim and Alicia for continuing the work that was started those 30 years ago. at the Wildlife and Needs Center. I was the director then, and I started the program, and I'm so delighted that it lives on and continues to do the good work that we started way back then.
Nancy, thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. It's good to hear.
Good to hear your voice.
Oh, wonderful. Nancy, thank you so much. I want to go back to the education that you do, because even on the Facebook page, I learned quite a bit. I'm sorry to hear about Meadow, your bull snake. And that was part, and Meadow was, I think, part of your education efforts.
She was, yes.
Mm-hmm. So talk about what you do in that area. In the area of education, not necessarily just Meadow, but other things.
Yeah. So globally, what we do is we're just trying to teach people how to live harmoniously with our Wisconsin wildlife and just, you know, give them tools, ways to either if an animal needs help and help them understand when to bring an animal to us or when an animal is just fine and it should be left alone. We work with the public to try to help them understand, like, you want to call before you kidnap. And we say that especially during orphan season, because sometimes you see a baby alone does not mean that it is alone, but sometimes it is an orphan. So our education works with all ages, not just, you know, school. It's all ages. I just did a program, and our youngest children there were 1 year old. And we go all over the place to schools and even up to senior centers. So, and it's really just to teach people how to live harmoniously with our wild neighbors.
Yeah, it's a great program. The phone recording people hear when they call the center right now says you're at capacity with baby raccoons. And on your Facebook page, you have a great video of some young raccoons catching minnows in a tub. But why do we have so many raccoons in particular?
You know, unfortunately, raccoons, and we love our baby raccoons, but they are one of the mammals that just takes the most time and resources to raise them. And on top of that, the most caging space. And so, you know, we do have minimum standards that we have to follow. And it's for their best interest to raise them right. And so basically what happens is that, you know, the most common situation would be that people hear something in their attic, under their deck, under their garage, whatever it is, and they will trap a raccoon or have it trapped and have it taken away or euthanized. And then 2 days later, they find a bunch of babies that they think are really cute, and now they want to save them. And so I would say the majority of our raccoons come in like that, where they are intentionally, whether or not it was known, but they were basically orphaned by the people who either killed or moved the mother. And so the majority of the calls that we get are for those, unfortunately. And then we also get calls where people, you know, just simply there's a car hit raccoon, and then there's a couple babies that come out crying a couple of days later. So there are just so many that we get calls for. And unfortunately, us, as well as all the centers, we fill up pretty quick on raccoons. And after that, it is very, very challenging. Because people find them, they're cute, they're adorable. But, you know, if we don't have caging capacity for them, we can't take them. And so people that find their baby raccoons in April, they can usually find someone to take them. But once it gets into June, every rehab center is at capacity. So it's a challenging situation. And we have actually redone all of our raccoon cages to try to, you know, help with our raccoon program. But still, we can fill up in a matter of days at the beginning of the season, which is very hard. So we work very closely with the people that find them to do everything in their power to reunite them. So if people call us before they have the mother trapped, it's a really simple thing. We give them a couple tricks on how they can get mom to take her babies away and then to seal up the hole after she leaves. But if they don't call us first and they call a pest control company, that's where we get into problems with the babies being orphaned.
Yeah.
So, you know, best scenario is people call when they find them, and then there are no orphans. And that's what we try to do. But, yeah, we do fill up as, you know, it's one of the hardest things with what we do is not being able to take baby raccoons that are in need of help.
Yeah.
It's really challenging.
And, you know, I mentioned that video of the young raccoons catching minnows, but there's an educational component to that, too, that I learned as I read the information along with the video itself.
Well, that's good. That's what we're trying to do.
Excellent. Well, you know, you were teaching them.
Absolutely.
Catch minnows and use their hands.
Right. And I mean, these guys, you know, raccoons are very smart. They're extremely smart. And so they spend a lot of time learning and going out foraging with their mother. When they're raised in captivity, they don't have that training. And so, you know, it's like growing up in the system without individual parental attention. It's a different thing. And so with these guys, we want to teach them they have to be able to climb. They have to be able to hang from trees. They have to be able to catch food and use their hands the way that they would in the wild and dig. It takes a lot to keep them mentally healthy and mentally stimulated, because with their mother, they would be out every night, you know, going in the creeks and learning what everything is. And without that, you can get pretty bored pretty quick. So we do try to do everything that we can, both for enrichment, for behavioral stimulation, but also for training to make sure that they have the life skills that they need when they're released. We do not ever want to raise an animal that ends up a nuisance animal going into someone's trash cans. That's just not for everything that we do for them. We want them to have a really good chance at a good life expectancy after release and not get themselves into trouble. So a lot of those things like the minnow hunting, and digging for things and foraging, those are all the skills that we try to give them so that they can have a really good chance at success when they leave.
It's wonderful. So you're kind of educating the animals and you're educating the people.
We try, you know, we want our animals, again, you know, wildlife rehab is not the place for healthy babies to be. We do everything in our power to try to reunite them with their families, and working with the public to prevent them from coming in if there's any chance that they can stay with their natural family. If they do come in because they can't stay with their natural family, we kind of look at it as a last resort. But that said, we want to do the best thing for them. And some of these really intelligent animals, it's pretty hard to raise them well when they learn so much from their parents. And so we've learned different ways to kind of do well by them and make sure that those things are happening. But it does take a lot more work than just putting them in a cage and adding food.
Yeah.
For sure.
And food is, I mean, how are you funded? You started feeding all these animals, just the food alone. It's got to be.
That's a really good question. So we are a not-for-profit. So we operate 365 days a year based on generous donors, based on our fundraising efforts. We do write some grants. So we have some great organizations that do support us out there. But it's all generous donors and all of our fundraising events, you know, the need is there. It's
And I'm wondering about the training. I've often thought about this for a while. I mean, there aren't a lot of places where you can learn about how to take care of a wild animal, are there?
Not really. So we do have a pretty small field, but there are a lot of training opportunities available if people are interested in learning how to do this on their own. In Wisconsin, we have the advantage of having multiple large centers. So people are kind of interested in just learning and spending some time working with wildlife, can always volunteer at a local center, ours included. You know, like we said earlier, we rely very heavily on our volunteers for everything that we do with our animals. And so our volunteers and the people that would sign up at wildlife centers, that would be how they get their education. You can apply in the state of Wisconsin to get a wildlife rehab permit, and that would involve having facilities for it and working with an advanced licensed rehabilitator from Wisconsin to get training before getting your own permit. So there's a whole process for it. But again, you know, it is very much a new field. We are still very primitive and learning as we go, doing the best we can. But we do now have a lot of science to back up our practices, and we spend a lot of energy trying to teach that stuff to new people coming in because, you know, there's no school you can go to.
Yeah. I wondered if, for example, if volunteers ever wind up, maybe at your place or maybe other centers as well, a volunteer wind up as a an employee.
They do.
That's where almost all of our employees come from. Yeah.
Because I started as a baby bird feeder volunteer way back in 2009 with my son. Lisa Rowe, our director of operations, she has been with the organization since 1995. 1995, she was a volunteer. But back in about 20 years ago, she came on as staff. So, you know, there's a lot of us come as from the volunteer role. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. And let's see, I had some emails. Vivian in Green Bay called to ask if feral cats are treated at the guest facility.
No. So we work only with native wildlife. That's exactly what we're permitted for. Feral cats, unfortunately, are kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Any domestic animal, whether they are, you know, a confirmed pet or a feral, would fall under a domestic species, and they would be treated at a regular veterinarian.
And who is it? I don't have the name here, but is there, or what is the most unusual situation you've had when it comes to care for an animal? Are there some, the more unusual situations?
I think probably the most, and it's hard to say what's unusual because, you know, for us, wildlife care is the norm. But I think the most unusual one, which is, I think, a classic, is that we did get a coyote in the winter that had gotten stuck inside a statue. And so it was a really cold time in the winter when we had major, major snow. And someone saw a coyote running through their yard with a statue on its head. And it took another day until the coyote was weak enough to just lay in the snow. And so we went and got the coyote and brought him in. And believe it or not, he had chased a rabbit into a statue of St. Francis, the patron saint of animals.
Oh.
So that was...
was the rabbit still in there?
Well, the part that he had, there was a couple parts left, but he definitely chased his food into a statue so hard that he got stuck. She got stuck. And so she had some damage on her neck, but it was as ironic as it gets. We don't name our animals, but we may or may not have referred to that one as Francis, for obvious reasons. So we see all kinds of different things, but I would say, in my opinion, the one that takes the cake for the last year would be Francis, thanks to St. Francis, the patron saint of animals.
Oh, my God. And what's your website and that the Facebook page? People got to see that. But your website is Wildlife in, it's the Wildlife in Need Center.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And so if people put that in, you're located in Oconomowoc, and people can find out how they can learn more and maybe donate, which is never a bad thing.
Nope, it's how we keep our doors open.
Alisa and Kim, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It was a real pleasure, and I hope we can do this again down the road. You're doing wonderful work, and it is much appreciated by me and I think everybody else listening. So thank you.
Kim Bannick. Thank you, too, and thanks, everyone, for caring for our local wildlife.
Yeah, Kim Bannick and Alisa Fosco from the Wildlife in Need Center, Rehabilitator Center, located in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. They do a lot of good work. Coming up, we're going to take a look at some coyote research done right here in our state. I'm Larry Mueller.